will this morning turn with me to our text, which is found in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. It's Colossians 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank Thee, O Lord, that Thou hast brought us here today and kept us from the weather and brought us here safely. And Lord, we ask now that as You have brought us here, that You would prepare our hearts and our minds to receive that, Lord, that Thou hast ordained before the foundation of the world. Lord, that You would be pleased to bring forth Thy truth today to exalt You. To humble man. Lord, humble us at Thy feet and glorify Thy holy name. Pray for Amy this morning, who's not feeling well. Lord, may You come with healing in Thy wings, that You'd be pleased to heal her as it pleases You. She would know Thy comfort now in this hour. Bless this time for Thy glory and for Thy name's sake. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our text this morning, Colossians 1:27, is a very precious text to the people of God. It reminds me, though, of the many times that Jesus was here on earth. And He would gather His disciples around Him, and He would tell them of what was to come, what He would do. And they never understood. They could not understand when Jesus said, He would lay down His life and go to the cross. They did not understand that He said that He would rise again. They did not understand when He said He would ascend up to the Father. They never had that understanding, even though the Lord kept telling them over and over the very gospel truth. I liken that to this passage, because all throughout the Word of God, in the Old and the New Testament, we have a term used, mystery. That there is a mystery revealed to the children of God. And when we think of that word mystery, and we think of mysteries, we completely know and see that it's something that's hidden. And that makes our carnal mind start to wonder, what is the answer? What could the mystery be? My family and I like to watch mysteries on TV. We like to delve into the mysteries and try to figure out who done it and where they did it and all of those things to get the mind working, to try to figure it out. And I feel like those that were around Christ, when He spoke these things to them, it was such a complete mystery. When Paul wrote these words in 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, the great mystery that was hidden from all of these ages and that was now revealed in Christ Jesus, was simply this. He tells us what it is. He tells us what the mystery is. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I think about that, and I fast forward to today, 2018, and I see today in the religious world, it's the same veil that's over the eyes of man. It's the same veil that's over the religious man's eyes. Whether it's free will, whether it's creature-centeredness, whether it's cooperation with God, whatever it is, whatever the decree of man is, the truth that's hidden is this, that it's Christ in you. It's the union, the vital union of Christ in His people. That is life, that is power, that is all answer to it. It is the hope of glory. And Paul calls it a mystery. He called it a mystery in his day. It's a mystery still in our day. And I want you to think about that a minute. It is hidden from every carnal man. It is hidden from every man here on the face of this earth as man tries to achieve a relationship with God. He does it with these hands, just like Cain tried. Just like all of the works people do, they try to come to God and offer God something that will put them on even par with God. We live in a day that the world looks at Jesus Christ as a helpmeet. It's fine as long as I find my way. If I get lost, I will pull Christ down and I will apply Him to myself to help me. I will pray to God that Jesus Christ would come and help me. Totally different than what Paul says right here. The mystery of the gospel is Christ in you, that the seed of Christ dwells within His people, and it's hidden. And that's why I marvel sometimes. I'll get in conversations. I'm sure you and I have both been in those conversations. The world or family members will say something to you and say, why is it you do things this way? Or why is it you don't do this? Or why is it that you don't participate in this? And our answer, if truly this is true, is because of Christ in me. Christ in you. It's union. The child of God does not live a life according to the flesh. The child of God is arrested. The child of God is put in the way or in the path of Christ by the power of Christ. And as the Lord indwells the child of God, He is the life of the child of God. We miss that so many times. We miss that as things come up in our lives. We miss that as God's providence brings things into our life. We stand just like the disciples did. Even though the Lord would tell them the truth over and over again, we must have something. And I say something, but it's someone to reveal to us that He lives within us. The mystery is a truth. The mystery defined is a truth beyond comprehension of nature and sense and reason. It is beyond the comprehension of sense. We can't sense it out. We can't feel ourselves to this truth. We can't reason ourselves to this truth. It doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter what we're studying. It doesn't matter who we're studying under. We can't reason our way to this mystery. This mystery is hidden and only revealed to the child of God. It's a personal mystery. Matthew 13:11 says, and this was Jesus' answer. Remember they asked Him, Lord, why do You speak to us in parables? Why do You speak in a parabolic sense? Why don't You just come out and say what You mean? Jesus' answer was this. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It is given unto the people of God to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. It will always, always be that way. Always. There will never be a man or a group of men or an institute or anything you can come up with in your mind that will devise a way to Christ that is not Christ Himself. We don't like that. See, this mystery that Paul is talking about today in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory, it is hidden from our flesh. Our flesh doesn't know this mystery. Our carnal fallen man doesn't know this mystery. The world out there does not know this mystery. The devil himself does not know this mystery. All of the enemies of God do not understand that Christ lives and dwells within His people. He is the hope of glory. Turn with me now as we're going to go a lot of places today in the New Testament. But as we're talking about this mystery, go with me please to Matthew 11. We'll start our journey in Matthew 11. And while you're turning there, I'm going to flip back a minute to our text. Because right before our text in 26, Paul says this, "Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." It is a personal mystery that is given to each one of the children of God. Now we come back to Matthew 11, as I said, and we'll begin in verse 25. "At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee." He is praying. He is opening. He is praying and speaking to his Father in union. In perfect union with the Father. In the perfect mind with he and the Father that are one. And he says to him, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things." This mystery of me being in my people and my people being in me is hidden from all of the world. "Thou hast hid," and the Lord sovereignly does so. You can sit in that chair this morning and you can say, "That's not fair. It's not fair. I've got a lot of people that I love in my life that I would love for this mystery to be revealed to. That Christ dwells in his people and Christ is life." And you may sit there today and say, "It's just not fair the way God's sovereignty." And Jesus looks up to the Father and says, "I thank you for your sovereignty. I thank you that you have sovereignly elected a people. That we dwell with those people and there are none other." It is such a different picture that's painted by our religious people in this world that think that Christ died for all and that Christ came for all and Christ is going to save all. "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent." Now that too might cause you to stumble. Because the way that the world has laid out for you and I to live in today in the year 2018, the way the world has laid out for you to find Christ is through your intellect, through your mind, through your wisdom, through your way, through your path, the way you come to Christ, the way you seek Him out. But the Lord says in this relationship with His Father, He says, "I'm thankful, Lord, that you didn't design it that way. You have hid it from the wisdom of this world. You have hid it from the prudent ones in this world that are telling everyone else, this is how you get to the Father. This is how you get to Christ. This is how..." Is that a voice you hear in this world? Do you hear that voice? Does that nag on you every day? Are you presented with that voice and God's providence and the things that He brings to you in your life? Because it is predominant out there in the world. But the Lord says He has revealed them unto babes. Another thing that makes us stumble. He's revealed them unto babes. Why babes? Why babes? Why that terminology? Because a babe is totally dependent upon his parent. Totally dependent upon the one who must perform all things for them. That's what the Lord said. "I have revealed it unto babes." Now you may not look at yourself as a babe in this room. You may look today and say, "I feel like I'm more like one of the wise and prudent." Well, rest assured, the Lord will humble you. He will bring you to the end of yourself where you are a babe. As you are just like the little baby birds in the nest whose mouths are open and waiting for the mama bird to come and feed them. They can't go out of the nest. They physically cannot gather them food. We are dependent upon our Lord for salvation and for applied salvation and for life. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So he says, "I revealed it unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." It's the sovereign will of the Father to do it that way. If you have issue with that, you have issue with the sovereign God of heaven. The sovereign God who is sovereign over all things. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And here's the key. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. It's personal. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the mystery that must be revealed by Christ himself, but it's Christ in you that does it. We get so caught up with the way that God worked in the Old Testament sometimes, and even in the New Testament, and man today says, God has to work outwardly upon me. That's the only way he'll accept God. I have my own way. That when I need God, I will cry out to God, and he must work outwardly in his providence or in his blessings or in his obedience, whatever it is. You work outwardly to me, God, and I will take that and I will inwardly reform myself and I will walk that way. Does that sound like your God? Does that sound like the way that's in Christ? Does that sound like what Paul said in our text today, which is the mystery that has been hidden but now revealed? As I said, we gloss over this. Oh, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is it? Is Christ in you the hope of glory? Sometimes I think we get so inundated with this world that we think it's wrong to live in the hope of glory. That it's wrong to look and to look at life, that this is just a passageway that we're passing through. We're so told everywhere we go that this world has so much to offer. That life is in this world. It's what you make of it. Seize the day. Be part of life. Get more and more into life. But Paul tells us that Christ in us reveals a hope of glory. That means to glory with the Lord, to be in glory with the Lord. And it's not wrong to be taught and to be shown and to live in that hope. The hope of glory that Christ, as he dwells in his people, reveals to them there is a better city. There is a greater habitation. There is a greater land than this land will ever be. And that's what the people of God's hope is. It's not for reformation in this life. It's not for riches in this life. It's not for even the people in this world. The Christian's hope is Christ. Christ to bring them into glory. Turn with me as we're in Matthew. Just turn with me over to Matthew 18 now. Because the Lord said he's revealed this unto babe. Totally dependent on Christ in you. But look at this, Matthew 18. Look at the start. And at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now we marvel, I hope you marvel at things like that. These people have followed Christ wherever he's went. They have heard his teaching. They have seen the humility of Christ. We just passed a passage where he talked about the Lord has revealed truth unto babes. That, once again, shows them that were with him that you must be humbled. Must be humbled. Humility. The humility of Christ is a characteristic, is a work of Christ of being in you. Humility. Humbleness. And yet they come to him and say, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now don't mistake that. This is man's problem. They look at this life and they believe what they do in this life is going to prepare them for the life to come. So as they look around each other and they look around who does more or who does less, they're asking, based on what we've done in our life, who's going to be the greatest? Isn't that what the world's mentality is? Isn't that what worldly religion is? It's so swallowed up with man-centeredness and what man brings to God, it misses everything about the hope of glory. That it's Christ. That glory is unbroken communion with the Lord. Oh, but no, we want to know who's going to be greatest there. We want to know if we're going to sit in a higher chair than this guy over here. Haven't you seen what we've done, Jesus? Haven't you seen my credentials? Haven't you seen what I've done in my life? Man-centeredness. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto them. Now that's kind of odd, isn't it? They ask him a question. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I mean, we've got all these accolades and we've left this. Peter say that later. I left my parents. I left everything I have. I've done this. I'll never deny you. I've done this. The Lord brings this little child and sets him right on his lap. Called a little child unto him, and he set him in the midst of them. Brought this child right in front of him. And he said, verily I say unto you of a truth, except you be changed, converted, except you be turned from the way that you see religion, the way that you see eternal life. You see it wrong. You're wrong. It's not your position in heaven. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, except you be converted. You're so high-minded. You're so worried about yourself. You're so fixated on your works. You're fixated on what you've done for God. Except you be converted. Except you be turned in 180 degrees and you turn from that way and become as little children, humbled as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because heaven, dear ones, is not about you and me. It's not about what we're going to take with each other. Going from here. It's not what we've added to our stature. And Christ taught it over and over. Paul says the same thing in our text today. And now you understand why it's hidden. Why is it a mystery? Look around you. Look around you. Look around the people you spend time with. Do they live this way? Do they live with Christ in them, the hope of glory? That Christ is their life. That everything else is immaterial. They're not chasing after every dream. They're not chasing after everybody else's dream. They're settled in Christ in you, the hope of glory. You say, no, I don't have many people around me like that. It's because it's a mystery. It's a straight and narrow path. Many are called, few are chosen. And right when you think that the Lord's out, the Lord looked up at his Father and he said, I thank you, Lord, that you have done it this way. That all that you gave me to die for will hear my voice. And all that you gave me to die for will be brought to understand and to see and to live upon Christ in you, the hope of glory. I pray at this hour the Holy Spirit comes and He testifies to your soul and He answers that question. It's a big question. Is my life, does it say that Christ lives in me, the hope of glory? What is my testimony to those around me? That it's Christ, that I follow Christ, that Christ is life in me? Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoa, what an answer. Took man right out of it. A great work by God is to humble a proud and haughty man. We're told all in the Word of God what puffs us up. And there's a whole list of things. Pedigree. I mean, we're in this line. This is our name. Riches puffeth, knowledge puffeth us up. All these things puff up our minds. All these things are enmity against the Lord. What the Lord teaches in His Word. To be humbled. This mystery, as we saw back in our text in Colossians, this mystery is now made manifest to the saints. That's the question. Has it been manifest to you today? Can you honestly before God, and the only way you're ever going to get there is if the Holy Spirit really teaches you this hour and really brings you to the end of yourself to see His work. What is His work in your soul? Is that testimony, what the Holy Spirit shows you, is it Christ in you? Is it Christ dwelling in you? Or are you one of those religionists? I'll get Christ when I need Him. Oh, He's always there for me when I need Him. Oh, I just pull Him down when I need Him. Paul tells us in our text, Christ is life. He's Christ in you. He lives and resides in the people of God. Ephesians 3:9, Paul wrote, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. This mystery has been hid in God when the triune Lord was there. It's been hid there for ages and ages. And isn't that something? It's not something we can study to attain to get there. Even though it's right in the black and white of the Word of God that it's Christ in you. And yet we can't get there every day of our lives. We can't live upon Christ every day without Christ. Makes sense. It's Christ in you. This, as I've said already, this revelation is personal. Go with me now to Galatians 1. You probably know where we're headed. Galatians 1:15 and 16. Paul says this in the beginning of his letter to the people of God there in Galatia. He says, but when it pleased God, in God's time, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. There's no other calling. I'm telling you, the Word of God just said, there's no other way. Paul, in all of his studying, Paul, in all of his learned religion, Paul, in all that he did for God, he said later that he would count it all as dung. Why? Because there was a moment in his life where the Lord separated him and called him by grace. And grace revealed to Paul that Christ was life and that everything else that he did was not worth anything. He called me by His grace. Now look at this in 16. To reveal His Son in me. Paul was revealed that Christ lived in him. Yet not I, in Galatians 2:20. Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. That's the testimony of the child of God. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. To reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen. Now look at the consequence. Look at the production here that comes from grace in the soul. When the Lord reveals the Son of God in your life, that He is your life. That grace reveals that the Son of God dwells in you. There is immediately, Paul said, I conferred not with flesh and blood, which has two meanings. He did not confer with himself and his carnal nature, which we are prone to do. And he couldn't do it at that moment because the Lord Jesus Christ was reigning in his soul. And he didn't look for man to sit there and ask them if it was okay with them. He didn't look for man to approve what Christ has done in his soul. He didn't look for man to say, Paul, what you have going on in you is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ was enough. To reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Why? Because Christ in him is the hope of glory. It has taken over Paul, and Paul no longer conferred with his flesh at this moment. That's what Christ does. That's what Christ is in our soul. And how does this get done? Well, Romans 8, 9, and 10, Paul wrote this. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, now listen to this, he is none of his. So that seed, that Christ that lives within us, is the Spirit of Christ. That's why when we hear that the Holy Spirit leads us to Christ, we understand that the triune God works this way in perfect unity. That when Christ said, when Paul said, it's Christ in you, it's the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, that reveals Christ in us. It's Christ in you. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I didn't say that. The Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit, wrote that. You can argue it all you want. You can look, you can make excuses for man, you can make excuses for self, you can justify any sin you want. If you want to, because this Bible's full of justification of sin. And you'll see what the Lord did to those who justified sin. He brought them to the end of themselves. But if Christ be in you, this is the difference. The body is dead because of sin. There's nothing that dwells in me, Paul said. There's nothing good that dwells within me. Nothing. Sin has riddled this body everywhere I look. Every time I do something, sin hitting me in that way. Sin is, you see how powerful the warfare is? Sin is all in these members. And it's warring against the Spirit of God and Christ that dwells within us. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Because of His righteousness. Because of the righteousness of Christ. Because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Have I the Spirit of Christ in me? Is there a power greater in me than my own power? That's really the question. Do you act every day according to a power that's greater in you? Or is it your power? You say, well, that's a tough question. How will I know? Oh, you'll know. That's the exercise of faith. That's what we've been talking about in the kids' class. We just went through Hebrews 11 and into 12. And faith, the faith of the Son of God is a miraculous thing. I mean, it's something that we don't have. It's something when the Lord gives it to us, we know it's the Lord's Word. The Holy Spirit testifies to us. This is Christ in you. Christ is doing this. Christ has done this. Do you have this union revealed to you? Christ, the mystery of Christ in you is personal, but it's also light. Don't ever, ever forget that. I hope you know, as you've been exercised in your life now many years, all of you different years, my son's oldest birthday today, he's 14 today, youngest one in my family, but I hope by now in his life, there's been something different. That there is a difference between light and darkness that lies within him. Christ in you is light. John said it this way in 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Christ is life. Christ is life, and that life is the light of men. It lights the path of man. It lights the path of those in Christ. It's Christ's way. It's Christ's life. Ephesians 5:13 and 14. Paul writes, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, and boy, we need the Lord to say this, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Light and life is in Christ. It's Christ in you. We've defined the mystery. Hopefully we're starting to define what Christ in you means. That there is we can define it by thousands of scriptures, but as I said at the beginning, you and I are the same as the disciples. They followed Christ everywhere. You say, well, that'd have been great to sit there and see Christ do those miracles. It'd have been great to see Christ and sit at his feet and hear those words come from his mouth. If we'd have just heard those words from his mouth, we'd have believed it. No, you wouldn't have. No, you wouldn't have. I mean, one thing I can say for the disciples, they left everything. They left wives and fathers and mothers and jobs and everything else. Something you and I haven't done. They left all of that to follow Christ around every day. And yet they still could not assent and get to a power in themselves to come up to where Christ was saying or to understand the meaning of what he said. Paul tells us it's been a mystery all throughout all the ages. And it still will be till time will be no more. That it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's hidden. It's hidden to man. Man, there's too many other ways for man to contrive a way to Christ. And I've said it many times because it's one of the things I most appreciated the most in Bunyan's book. Are there always going to be those that contrive another way and try to get others to follow their way? Absolutely. When Bunyan painted that picture at the end of that book and the gate into heaven was open, but yet those that came a different way. They tried to get over the wall. They couldn't come through the door because Christ wasn't in them, the hope of glory. It's what we just read a while ago. The Spirit of Christ in them. They had the spirit of the world. They had the spirit of the devil. They had the spirit. And they said, well, why would the spirit of the devil want you to go that way? Because you're going to end in hell, in eternal perdition. And sure enough, that picture, it's always stayed with me my whole life, ever since I've read that book the first time. That door that led all the way down to hell. The door of works. The door of man-centeredness. The door of man saying, I have another way. The door by saying to Christ, I can work with you, but you won't have dominion over me. Leads to hell. All other religion, Daniel put it this way, he called it tekel. It was weighed in the balances and found wanting. It's found wanting. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Does your religion today leave you wanting? Do you get to the end of the day? Listen, we live in a shallow, shallow age. And I know I can go off on what video games have done, and I can go off on the technological world. We're supposed to be so smart now. It actually has made man dumber as far as thinking. They don't have to think anymore. We don't even have to know how to tell time anymore. I mean, we don't have to do anything. We can ask some things sitting on a table and they tell us anything we want to hear. We don't have to know nothing. And that's shallow thought. That's what society is today. Everything's shallow. Oh, just tell me. Oh, yeah, I'll believe it. Oh, yeah, everything's. Have you been taught deeply? Because that's what the Lord does. He drills down into the soul and He empties and empties and empties and empties and empties until He fills with Himself. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is our power. I've said it many times. The psalmist told us that we'll be willing in the day of the Lord's power. I believe it. Because I've seen many times in my life I've not been willing. But I've seen many times I've been willing by a power greater than mine. So He is my power. Jeremiah tells us He is our righteousness. We don't have a righteousness of our own, and the one that we do have, Isaiah tells us, is filthy rags. And then later in our book, where our text is, we're told that Christ is all and in all. Is He? Because that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That Christ is all and in all. Now we talk about the hope of glory a little bit. I want to speak about hope, which is a well-grounded confidence. An expectation that will not make you ashamed. That's what true hope is. Hope is defined in Hebrews 7, 19 and 20 as an anchor. We're told which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. Our hope is an anchor of our soul, but that hope is Christ in you. He's the anchor. He's the anchor because this life, look outside, is so unpredictable, just like the weather. It is. Somebody in this room this week will suffer great hardship, great angst in the soul. You know why? How I know that? I'm not no prophet. I know it because His Word says so. In this life, we will have tribulation. But greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. And that's the wicked one. He's in the world. But there is a greater one in the child of God. And that greater one is the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That hope of glory in you and I, Christ in us, is our great priest, our high priest, who is continually making intercession for us, who continually prays for us. He is our great King. He is our great Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He is our great prophet that continues to teach us. That's the difference. I don't know about you today. I don't know if there is a difference. If the people you gather yourself in your life with, every day of your life, has the Lord revealed to you that there's a difference of you than them. And what is that difference? Your intellect, your knowledge, what you've attained in your life? I pray to God it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. I've talked to some in here that I know that is the case. You hear the testimony of what the Lord has done in your life. To Him be all glory, great things He has done. Romans 5:5, Paul writes, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." That's the Holy Ghost in us. That's the Spirit of Christ in us. That's the hope of glory, Christ in us. He reveals this hope. It's a living hope. It's not a hope that doesn't have life in it. It's not a hope of things. It's a hope of that city of habitation to come. Turn with me to Romans 8. A couple of passages here and we'll finish up. Romans 8, beginning in 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There's no other way. The Holy Spirit must speak to the children of God to say, you are the child of God. You have Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if children, then heirs. Now listen to what you're heirs of. We think of inheritance here on this life. We build up our treasures and we say, we want to leave this to our children. We want to make sure they have a life. Listen to what the inheritance is for the child of God. It may shock you. Heirs of God. The inheritance for the child of God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That's union. Joint heirs with Christ. As our great brother, as our great head, as our great all in all. Christ in us. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Say, there's that suffer word again. Yes, we're going to suffer. We must suffer in this life. To show us that this life is in heaven. And that it is corrupt. And that it is imperfect. And that it's not the hope of glory. But sin mars everything that we do. And sin will cause you to suffer. Paul said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." This is coming from one who was shipwrecked and was beaten and was bitten by a viper and was thrown in jail and was ostracized and by his own people. I mean, think of all the things that happened to Paul. He said, you know, those sufferings, I reckon I've come to this point. The Lord has shown me this, that they're nowhere near comparison to the glory that is revealed in the child of God. What is that glory? Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Look down at 24. For we are saved by hope, Paul says. That's why I told you a few minutes ago. I said, you know, it's not wrong. It's not wrong to hope in a life to come. It's not. The Bible tells us we're saved by that hope. The hope of something greater than what's here. If you find yourself clinging to this world and clinging to the things of this world, it's because the hope of glory, Christ in you, has not revealed that He is greater than anything in this foreign land. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. That's what Christ in us is, the hope of glory, the hope of a better day. As we go through this warfare, as we have this war against sin, the Lord gives us hope for a better day, a better revelation that Christ has put that sin away. We'll end today with that. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we wait with patience for it. You see the fruit of the Spirit there? We need patience. Patience to wait for the revelation of the hope of glory that's in us. Sometimes I think when we buy things, we're always worried they're not going to work, or sometimes we get them and they don't work, and we'll, whatever they are. I mean, it'd be brand new, we buy it and it doesn't work. We have this thing and we say, well, I wonder if it's going to work or not. That's not Christ in us, the hope of glory. He is faithful to Himself. He can swear by no other. And the Lord is life. He is the life of every child of God. He is the light of every child of God. He is the hope of every child of God. He is the faith of every child of God. And He is the love of every child of God. Now back in our text, we read this. Back to our text in Colossians 1, we read, Our text again, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Praise be to God that He did. That the truth went out to all Gentiles. There's no bond nor free, nor male, nor female. We're all one in Christ Jesus. There's no nationality. That the Lord has a people. And this truth He now has made manifest to His saints, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now look at verse 28. Paul says, whom we preach. It's funny. I was listening to a sermon this week by a guy in North Carolina, and he was talking about preaching Christ, and he and another guy were standing at the back talking to people, and this guy walked up to him and he said, you know, I love when you preach Christ, but you know, there's other things in the Bible. Do you chuckle at that this morning? Or do you find that to be true? Do you think there's other things in the Bible? Do you think that this word is not His word? Do you think that there's doctrines or there's things that can save you? Or you think that there's things in this book that are not flow from Christ, that is Christ? Man is always left wanting in himself. Oh, well, that's nice to hear and everything, but isn't there more? Isn't there some kind of like another way? You tell me how to believe and I'll believe. Lord, help us. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. That wisdom is the wisdom of God in Christ Jesus, which we'll talk about in a minute. That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's what the gospel does. It preaches, when we preach the gospel of what Christ has done, it is about the perfectness that we have in Christ. Not in man. That's what Paul said. It's the perfectness that's in Christ Jesus. The Greek here means a more mature or grown up into Christ Jesus. That's why we preach Christ. That's what the Lord, that's what He has ordained, the preaching of the Word and the Word itself. Faith comes by hearing. It's the Lord to open the ears and open the soul of every child of God to the hearing of His voice when He speaks through His Word. Turn with me where we'll finish today over at the end of 1 Corinthians 1. I'll just briefly read through this passage. I think you'll see where I'm going with this as we end today with that thought. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We start in verse 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks. That's now the Gentiles. The truth of the people of God in one. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God. Don't gloss over that. Christ is the power of God. And that Christ, the Christ, is the power of every child of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. We just talked about that. That's the wisdom, Paul said, that I preach. I preach the wisdom of Christ. Christ is wisdom, which we'll get to here in a minute. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Isn't that what that mystery is? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Man comes along because that's just foolish. We have to have some part in this. We have to, Lord, you know, we'll do our part. Foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And that's not saying there's a weakness in God. It's just saying everything in God is greater than man. You see what an affront it is to put yourself in the middle, whether you choose God or you act upon your obedience or whether you do something for God. You see what an affront that is to a holy, sovereign Lord who is dwelling in His people. You see your calling, brethren. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Goes against what we think, doesn't it? But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is despised by man. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in His presence. No flesh. To Him be all glory. But of Him, eternal, vital union, of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. Of Him, of Christ in you, the hope of glory, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, the people of God, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And all of those are Christ's. That's what we have in Him. His wisdom, His righteousness, His sanctification, His redemption. He must reveal to you that He dwells in you and that He is the hope of glory. That He has put your sins away, that you will be with Him in eternity. That according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. May you and I today glory only in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Dear Heavenly Father, may you add thy power and thy clarity for the glory of thee. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.